on this Feast of All Souls, I thought it might be a little helpful to consider the Church's teaching on indulgences. Not something we hear a lot about, not something necessarily we want to talk about the first thing when you talk to somebody. Hey, you want to be Catholic? We have this thing called indulgences. But it's down on the list of things that might be helpful to know at some point, and so we'll talk about it today. An indulgence is a remission before God of a temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven, which the faithful Christian who is duly disposed gains under certain prescribed conditions through the action of the Church, which as the minister of redemption dispenses and applies with authority the treasury of the satisfactions of Christ and the saints. It's a long definition, but translation, it's some kind of work or action which we gain access to the merits of Christ and the saints. There are really two kinds of indulgences. There are plenary indulgence, which is a full remission of punishment due to sin, or a partial indulgence, which is partial remission of the punishment due to sin. So the punishment due to sin is different than the guilt of the sin. When we go to confession, we're forgiven of the guilt, but the punishment due to sin is sort of like, it's kind of like, I always use the example of, you break a window, you say you're sorry, you get forgiven, yes, I'm forgiven, but now the window needs to be fixed. And so that's sort of the punishment due to sin. That's how we need to fix the window yet. There are three conditions for obtaining an indulgence. One, we need to receive the sacrament of confession and Holy Communion in some proximity to the actual work. We have to have the interior detachment from sin, which is probably the hardest part about getting an indulgence. And we need to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. There are certain norms that are given to regulate the reception of indulgences. I'd like to just talk about the first 10. There are 36 norms. The first 10 are really the ones that kind of give the outline, and the last ones are more to kind of give particular circumstances, or in case of this or that circumstance, this is what happens. So we'll just talk about the first 10. Number one, really states the definition that we already talked about, so we'll skip that one. Number two, indulgence is partial or plenary according to its, as it removes either part or all of the temporal punishment due to sin. I think that's clear enough. So it's, again, it's either full or partial. Number three, partial as well as plenary indulgences can always be applied to the dead by way of suffrage. In this context, suffrage means kind of offering or praying of intercession for someone on behalf of the dead, in this case. Number four, a partial indulgence will henceforth be designated only with the words partial indulgence, without any determination of days or years. In the past, it was customary to quantify indulgences by the amount of time it took off purgatory. This was a system that sort of was invented to try to help people understand the relative value of something, but it ended up being really confusing, so they don't do that anymore. Number five, the faithful who are at least with a contrite heart perform an action with a partial indulgence is attained. In addition to the remission of temporal punishment acquired by this action itself, an equal remission of punishment through the intervention of the Church is offered. My understanding of this is it's basically applying for a matching grant, in a sense. You do the work, there's a real good that comes from that, and the Church says, hey, we want to really be generous here, we're going to offer you a double deal, you get twice as much. So it's kind of like an extra thing that comes along with it, just an extra reward. Number six, a plenary indulgence can be acquired only once a day. This is to basically keep people from trying to be preoccupied with just going around and, oh, I can do this good work, and I get another plenary indulgence. I can do this good work, and I get another. We don't want to be preoccupied with it. It's something that can be helpful, good, but it shouldn't be like what controls our everyday actions. Number seven, to acquire a plenary indulgence, it is necessary to perform the work to which the indulgence is attached and to fulfill three conditions: sacramental confession, Eucharistic communion, and prayer for the intentions of the Supreme Pontiff. It is further required that all attachment to sin, even to venial sin, be absent. If this disposition is in any way less than complete, or if the prescribed three conditions are not fulfilled, the indulgence will be only partial. So this clarifies that it's not magic, that the indulgence is offered to help, individuals who live a pious life, as well as those who are in need of those prayers, the faithful departed. But it's not something that we should, say like, well, if I do this, it equates exactly to this. It's partial indulgence. It's probably most of the time for most of us, because that detachment from sin is really, really hard to have. Number 8 and 9 kind of go together. Number 8 says, the three conditions will be fulfilled several days before or after the performance of this prescribed work. Nevertheless, it is fitting that communion be received and the prayers for the intentions of the Supreme Pontiff be said the same day of the work that the work is performed. Number 9 says, a single sacramental confession suffices for gaining several plenary indulgences, but communion must be received and prayers for the Supreme Pontiff's intentions recited for the gaining of each plenary indulgence are necessary. As the Norm reads, he strives to help those to obtain the indulgence to make it practical. You know, we don't want to say, well, so-and-so, you got to go to confession again today to get another plenary indulgence. You know, got to go to confession every day. It's basically just saying, let's be practical, okay? Let's not get too worked up about this. Number 10. The condition of praying for the Supreme Pontiff's intentions may be fully satisfied by reciting one Our Father and one Hail Mary. Nevertheless, the individual faithful are free to recite any other prayer according to their own piety and devotion toward the Supreme Pontiff. I think that's clear enough too. So basically, pray for the Holy Father. If you don't, if you're not sure which prayer to pray, pray one Hail Mary, one Our Father. There are many kinds of indulgences. Things like reading scripture for 30 minutes a day, going to adoration for 30 minutes a day. You can get indulgence for those kind of works. There are meant to be lots of different things. They foster devotion. It's meant to help us grow closer to God, and then also to be a benefit to those souls who are in need of this prayer and this assistance on their way to union with God. For a complete listing of these norms and indulgences, you can look at the document which Pope Paul VI wrote in 1967 to clarify the teaching on indulgences, and it's also got the Manual of Indulgences. You can see this on our website. I put a link there so you can look at it. It's kind of a long document, but if you want to know, it's all there. Today, let's offer our prayers at this Mass for those who have gone before us. But let us also be ever mindful of the fact that we do have a role, an important role, to help those who need assistance. Christ has given this role to us to play in regard to those who have been deceased, who have gone before us. So we pray for the souls this day, asking that the Lord would help them and guide them on their way to full and total union with Him.